If you've spent any time at all in decentralized finance, you have absolutely seen the ads, you know the ones, earn 100% APY providing liquidity.
Oh yeah, put your tokens to work. The numbers can be, well, really dazzling. They promise this amazing passive income just for pairing up two assets.
Exactly. And that's the seductive promise of DeFi liquidity provision, or LPing. But those huge APY figures, they often hide the single biggest risk.
A risk that can completely wipe out any of those returns you thought you were getting.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We're going to tackle that ghost in the machine, the one thing that most new LPs just, you know, fundamentally misunderstand. We're talking about impermanent loss.
Yeah. And let's start with the brutal truth here so you know exactly what we're digging into.
Okay, lay it on us.
When you actually crunch the numbers on most of these volatile pools, a lot of liquidity providers, maybe most, would have been better off just holding their tokens.
You mean just holding them in a wallet, doing nothing?
Doing nothing, even after you factor in all the fees they supposedly earned?
Wait, how is that even possible? If I'm generating fees from every single trade, how can I be losing money compared to someone who just, I don't know, slept through it all?
That is the core paradox. I mean, impermanent loss is, at its heart, an opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost.
It's the difference between the dollar value of your position in the liquidity pool versus what the dollar value of those exact same tokens would be if you had just held them. The classic HODL strategy.
So it's not an actual loss until I withdraw my funds, but it's this constant drag on my potential profit.
Precisely. And it happens anytime the price ratio of the two tokens in your pair moves away from the ratio that existed the moment you first put them in.
Okay, let's unpack that mechanism because this is the really crucial part. If I put in, say, ETH and USDC and the price of ETH shoots up, why doesn't my position just track that rise perfectly?
It comes down to the fundamental design of the automated market maker, the AMM. Most of them run on a very simple formula. It's called the constant product formula, X times Y equals K.
So the product of the two tokens has to stay constant.
It has to stay constant. The system is effectively blind. It doesn't care about the price on Coinbase or anywhere else. It only cares about keeping that product, K, the same.
It's like a blind vending machine for crypto.
That's a great way to put it. It just has to keep its internal books balanced. So if ETH suddenly skyrockets on an external exchange, the AMM sees that ETH is now, you know, relatively cheap inside its pool.
And that creates a profit opportunity.
A massive one. And that's where the arbitragers come in. They are the ones who actually rebalance the pool for us.
Right.
They see the price difference, they rush in, and they buy the cheaper ETH from your pool. And they pay for it with the other token, in this case, USDC.
So if ETH is going up, these arbitragers are basically buying my ETH from me, and my pool is shrinking my ETH stack and giving me more USDC instead.
Yes. Your pool automatically sells your appreciating asset. Now, what if you reverse it? Let's say ETH crashes. Now the pool thinks ETH is too expensive compared to the outside world. Arbitragers will buy your stable USDC and dump their now cheaper ETH into your pool to balance it out.
So if the price drops, my pool uses my valuable USDC to buy more of the falling ETH.
And that's, I mean, the core mechanic is absolutely chilling when you finally get it. The AMM forces the liquidity provider to constantly be selling
the winners
and buying the losers.
That is the literal definition of a losing strategy in trading. And the system forces us to do it. Okay, I think we need to make this concrete. Let's run the numbers.
Yeah, let's do a simple ETHUSDC example. So let's say you deposit $4,000 of liquidity. This is when one ETH is priced at exactly $2,000. So you put in one full ETH and 2,000 USDC.
Okay, one ETH, 2,000 USDC. Total value, $4,000. Now, let's say the market moves. ETH goes up 25% to $2,500.
Okay, first, let's calculate the HODL scenario. If you just kept the one ETH and 2,000 USDC in your wallet, what's it worth now?
Well, the ETH is worth $2,500 and the USDC is still $2,000, so $4,500.
$4,500. Keep that number in your head. That's your benchmark. That is what you should have.
Right. Now, what does the AMM do to my position?
To keep that constant product, the pool has to rebalance. Arbitragers have already done it for you. They sold USDC to the pool and bought some of your ETH. Your new position is something like 0.894 ETH and 2,236 USDC.
Okay, so I have less ETH and more USDC. Let's see what that's worth at the new price.
So you take that 0.894 ETH, multiply it by the new price of $2,500.
That's $2,235.
Add the 2,236 USDC. Your new LP position is worth $4,471.
Ah, there it is. Okay, so holding would have been $4,500. My LP position is $4,471. The difference is $29.
And that $29, that's your impermanent loss. In this case, it's about a 0.65% loss compared to just holding. You lost out because the pool forced you to sell ETH on its way up.
It's pretty subtle at a 25% move, I guess. I can see why people miss it, especially if they're earning some fees.
They do. But you have to remember, this problem is not linear.
What do you mean? It doesn't just scale up neatly? Because this is where it starts to get genuinely scary, right? For anyone in volatile assets, the growth is exponential.
It is absolutely exponential. I mean, look at the curve. If the price moves just a little, say 10%, the IL is only 0.5%. It's almost nothing.
But when the volatility really kicks in,
it runs away from you. If that token price changes by 50%, either up or down, the impermanent loss jumps to 5.7%. That's a huge leap from that 0.65% we saw.
Wow. Okay, 5.7%. And what about a 2x? If the token doubles or gets cut in half, 100% move.
100% price divergence gives you a 20% impermanent loss.
20%.
This isn't a small sliver anymore. This is a fifth of your starting capital, just gone, compared to if you had just held on.
And what's fascinating is the symmetry of it all. The loss is the same whether the price goes up 50% or down 50%. The AMM doesn't care which direction, just that it moved.
Exactly. Any divergence from that deposit ratio generates the same loss relative to holding. Which, you know, brings us to the name, impermanent. Why on earth call it that when it can cost you 20% of your money?
Yeah, it sounds a bit like a marketing term, to be honest. Something to make people feel better about it.
And in a way, it is. It's only impermanent if, and this is a huge if, the price of the tokens returns to the exact ratio that existed when you deposited.
So if ETH went to 3,000 and then came all the way back down to our starting price of 2,000, the IL would disappear.
It would disappear. It was just an unrealized opportunity cost during that time.
But who's doing that? Most people are providing liquidity to make money now, not waiting around for a year hoping the ratio magically resets.
That's the critical catch. The loss becomes permanent loss the moment you withdraw your liquidity while the prices are different. And when do most LPs pull their money out?
When things get crazy. During high volatility, when they need the cash. Which is exactly when the prices are furthest from where they started.
They are actively locking in the largest possible losses.
Which leads us to the big question, the one that really determines if this is all worth it. Can the trading fees we earn actually overcome this, you know, this exponential permanent loss?
That's the break-even calculation everyone needs to do. So let's set up a realistic scenario. Imagine you're putting $10,000 into a standard ETHUSDC pool.
Okay, 10 grand.
You're a small fish, so you have a 1% share of the total pool. The fee rate is a standard 0.3%. And let's say it's a pretty active pool with $100,000 in daily trading volume.
Seems reasonable. So let's calculate the revenue first. What are my annual fees from that?
Okay, so it's $100,000 in daily volume times the 0.3% fee rate times your 1% pool share.
Right. That comes out to $3 a day in fees.
$3 a day. So annualized, that's 3 times 365. You're generating $1,095 a year in fees. That's your shield. That's your defense against IL.
Okay, so just under $1,100. Now let's see how much of a market move that can actually handle on my $10,000 stack.
Scenario one, a calm market. The pair only moved plus or minus 25% over the whole year.
So what's my IL?
At 25%, the IL is about 2% of your capital, so $200. You earned $1,095 in fees. You lost $200 to IL. You're profitable. You made a net of $895. LPing works.
Great. Scenario two. Things get a little choppy. We had a 50% move.
At 50%, your IL jumps to 5.7%. That's $570 lost. Your fee income of $1,095 still covers it.
Barely. My net profit is down to about $525. The margin is getting thin.
It's eroding fast. Now, scenario three, the one we see all the time in crypto. The token either doubles or gets cut in half within a year. A plus or minus 100% move.
And this is where it all falls apart, right?
This is where the math just breaks. At a 100% move, your impermanent loss hits 20%. That's a full $2,000 loss on your $10,000 of capital.
So I earned $1,095 in fees, but I suffered a $2,000 IL. I am actively, wow, $905 worse off than if I had just held the tokens.
The math is undeniable. In volatile markets, the IL often, and I'd say usually, dramatically exceeds the fees you collect. That makes LPing in most pairs an unprofitable strategy compared to just holding.
That is a really powerful lesson. So if volatility is the big villain here, what do we do? How do we mitigate this risk? We need some actionable strategies.
Well, first you have to understand the two main drivers of high IL. It's one, high volatility itself, obviously. But second, and just as important, is low correlation.
Low correlation, meaning the two assets don't really move together, like pairing a brand new token with a stablecoin.
Exactly. When you pair two unrelated assets, their price ratio just moves wildly, which generates massive IL. Even pairing two assets that are somewhat related, like ETH and BTC, helps a bit because they tend to move in the same general direction, which reduces the ratio divergence.
So strategy one for mitigation is to target that correlation. You stick to stable pairs.
Right. A USDC-USDT pool. The price divergence there is minimal. IL is often less than, you know, a tenth of a percent annually. The big risk there is a DPEG event, of course. You're trading high fees for high stability.
And strategy two, maybe a middle ground, would be choosing highly correlated pairs.
This is really popular with liquid staking derivatives. So pairing something like Rust ETH with ETH, since one is just a derivative of the other, the price ratio has to stay very stable by design. You get better fees than with pure stables, but your IL stays low.
Okay. And for the more advanced listeners, there's a third strategy, delta neutral.
Yeah, this requires some knowledge of derivatives, but basically you provide liquidity, which gives you long exposure to the tokens, and then you open a corresponding short position on another platform to hedge that exposure out.
So you completely remove the price risk.
You remove the price risk. So you only profit from the trading fees no matter what the price does. That's how the professionals do it.
We need a whole separate deep dive on that, but let's get to a metric that complicates this even more. You mentioned a cost that's even worse than impermanent loss. Loss versus rebalancing, or LVR.
Yes. If IL is the hidden opportunity cost, LVR is like a hidden, irreversible tax that you pay to smarter, faster traders.
Okay, that sounds bad. How does that work?
It happens because AMM prices always lag behind the real market prices. So when the price moves, especially fast, arbitragers trade against the stale, outdated price that's still in the pool. They know they're getting a deal.
They're exploiting the delay.
They are exploiting the delay. They extract that price difference, and they're essentially stealing the profit that the LP should have made in that tiny window of time.
So IL is what I lose compared to holding. LVR is value that is actively snatched from my position because arbitragers are faster than my pool can update its prices.
Precisely. And the math behind LVR is what's truly chilling. LVR is proportional to volatility squared. That's sigma squared.
Why is the squaring part so important?
Because it shows you how fast the penalty accelerates. If volatility doubles, your LVR cost doesn't just double, it quadruples. High volatility, especially on a blockchain with slow block times, leads to massive LVR. It just compounds the losses you already have from IL.
Okay, let's nail down the difference then. IL versus LVR. What's the critical distinction for my bottom line?
Impermanent loss is, in theory, reversible if the price comes back. It's a hypothetical loss. LVR, on the other hand, is real value extracted from you by arbitragers. It is cumulative, and it is never reversible. In some high-volatility, low-volume pools, LVR alone can eat up more than your annual fees.
That makes the whole profitability argument even tougher, which brings us back to just critical thinking. We have to address some of the common myths that get LPs into trouble.
Myth number one, you hear it all the time. Oh, the fees will always cover the IL. We just proved that's only true in very low volatility or extremely high volume pools.
For most pairs, especially the exciting ones, it's just not true.
It's not. Most LPing in volatile crypto is unprofitable on a risk-adjusted basis.
And the other myth? The one that makes people jump into the riskiest pools. I can avoid IL if I just pick the right exotic pair.
The reality is you can minimize it. You can minimize it a lot by choosing stable or correlated pairs, but you can never, ever eliminate it completely. Any deviation from your starting ratio generates some IL.
So as we wrap up here, what's the final framework? What are the key questions you should ask yourself before providing liquidity to any pool?
Before you deposit a single dollar, you need to run three checks. First, what is the volatility and correlation of this pair? Be honest with yourself. If it's a volatile, uncorrelated pair, you should probably just walk away.
Second, do your homework on the pool's revenue. What's the fee rate? What's the actual historical trading volume? If that volume is low, your fees have no chance of keeping up.
And finally, the stress test. You have to calculate the worst-case IL scenario you're willing to accept, say a 50% price move, or even 100. Can your expected annual fees cover that potential loss?
And that's before you even factor in LVR.
Before you even think about LVR. And if that calculated worst-case IL is way more than your expected fees, the conclusion is crystal clear.
The market is telling you something.
It's telling you that you are being underpaid for the risk you are about to take. And in that case, the answer is simple. Just hold your tokens. Don't get blinded by a big APY number. Always, always calculate impermanent loss first. The hidden cost is just too high for most pairs out there.
That is a necessary, if a little painful, deep dive. Hopefully, this knowledge saves all of you a significant chunk of capital the next time you see one of those flashy APY banners.